Episode number 16, Navigating Difficult Times in Ministry with Tom Bum. Here we go, tribe.
This is the Kidman Tribe Podcast. We're helping you as children's pastors, volunteers, and leaders plan, create, and execute incredible life-changing kids' worship experiences at your church. With practical tips, coaching, training, and resources from the best in kids' ministry around the world. It's time to join the tribe.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Noble, the host of the Kidman Tribe Podcast. I hope you're having an incredible fall, that things are going so incredible in your ministry as we speak. I'm just getting ready to head out to our fall festival at our church. It's been such a busy fall, busy season. I hope that you're seeing God do incredible things in your ministry. Hey, so have you ever walked through a difficult time in ministry? Have you ever been hurt in ministry? I think we all have. We all row in that same boat. It's not, not one person is immune from difficult times and hard times in ministry. And we're going to be talking about that today. How to guard your heart, how to make sure that you don't get burned out in those times where it seems so difficult and so hard. And I have the one and only Tom Bump, whose whole focus is helping leaders not burn out, helping leaders heal from hurt, and to really thrive in ministry. Tom Bump is also the host of the Kids Ministry Collective, another great podcast that helps equip and train children's ministry leaders. I want to go challenge you to go check it out, see what God's doing over on the Kids Ministry Collective. But Tom has been in ministry and a ministry leader for over 30 years, who's served in various sized churches from 50 to 5,000. He's the founder, lead coach with RestoringLeaders.org and KMCCCoach.net. He helps leaders heal from hurts and find restoration from burnout. He also, like I said, hosts the Kids Ministry Collective, whose focus, and they have a Facebook group also, the focus of that is to help kids ministry leaders and churches rise up to the next level in their leadership. And that's why I think this is important. It's such an important topic to talk about hurt and challenges, because sometimes that holds us back. And Tom gives us some great ideas on how to break through and really see God do incredible things in your ministry. He also has written a book, Valleys Over Mountains, A Guide Through Hard Seasons. We're going to be talking about how you make it through those difficult times. You're not going to want to miss a single moment. And I'll say this, if you haven't been through difficult times in ministry, it may be coming. So get ready. You know, who knows what happens in ministry, but man, don't get burned out. Don't let it affect your heart. And we're going to talk through on how to do that here in just a moment with Tom Bump. Can't wait. We'll see you back here in just a moment.
Hey guys, Jess and Dave here from Doorpost Songs. We've partnered with 1230 Kids to bring you a brand new Christmas curriculum called Unto Us. It's all about how ordinary people encountered an extraordinary Savior.
There are five lessons which you can use for 4 weeks of Advent plus Christmas Eve. And you're gonna love all the custom media that's included, awesome activities, plus five of our Christmas songs with lyric videos and hand motions, simple lesson plans, and ready-made presentation files. You can also print these Advent passports for your kids to get stamped every week when they come.
Your kids will love learning about ordinary people like Isaiah, Mary, Joseph, the Magi, and even Paul. But best of all, they'll walk away with an understanding of the gospel. This Christmas, don't miss this chance to tell your kids the story of their extraordinary Savior.
Hello, Kidman Tribe. I'm your host, Jason Noble, and I'm so excited that you're here today. I'm also excited to have my guest, Tom Bump, on the podcast with us today. Tom, welcome.
Hey, it's so good to be with you, brother.
Yeah, definitely. Tom is a children's pastor. He helps leaders. Tell us all of what you do. I know you have your hand in a lot of different areas.
Oh, yeah. Your passion is. Yeah, it's more like what don't I do right now, it feels right. But yeah, there's two main things that I do right now. Yeah, I've been a pastor for 35 years, doing children's, family ministry, student ministry, even had a stint as a senior pastor for a while. Nice. There was a demotion.
Yeah, not a promotion, right?
I don't know why people think that children's ministry is a stepping stool up. It's not.
Right.
So yeah, I've grown up in ministry. My dad was a pastor too. So I've been following his footsteps. Yeah. Yep. All right. That's the club. Yep. good, bad, or ugly.
Exactly.
So the main things that I do, I have a ministry that called Kids Ministry Collective, which there's a Facebook group, a podcast you've been on,
yes,
which is awesome. And so it's a community where kids ministry leaders can connect and resource and share and pray together and get encouragement, because we want everybody to be connected. And so it's been a group that just continues to grow and serve each other. And the podcast has been fantastic to be on and to serve and to lead. And then we do coaching as part of the KMC ministry, is KMC coaching, where we help serve leaders if they're stuck in leadership or needing help with mindset or strategy, you name it. We try to help. We've had senior pastors that'll hire us to work with their kids pastors and nice. Family pastors, youth pastors. And we just walk alongside, we listen and we learn, and then we figure out how to get them back on mission and get that clarity. So we do that. And then just over the last couple of years, God really put a burden on my heart for the hurting and the burned out. Yeah. There's just been so many leaders struggling right now. And I've been through the hills and the valleys myself. I've been blindsided, got fired, knew that was coming too, which was fun.
Right.
I wrote a blog post called Getting Spit Out of the Belly of the Fish. Because I've even had a Jonah season where I ran from this dream that God called me to, and ended up in a church that I thought was going to be a dream job, and it turned out to be a total nightmare.
Hey, you know what? The nightmares are dreams too. I'm just saying.
That's true. That's a great perspective. I'm going to use that one. Because I was struggling, and all of a sudden it became very clear that I'd been running, and God wanted me to start serving leaders and to pastor pastors. Mm. And so we launched Restoring Leaders officially back in 2019. Just felt like we could come alongside leaders, and we've learned a lot over the years of walking in valley seasons and also walking on mountaintops. And so we have this path that we try to guide leaders on to help them, to renew, to refocus, to restore. And, God's just been blessing and opening doors for me to get to speak about it and talk about it and coach leaders. We've been helping a lot of different leaders. It's been awesome to see leaders who come in and they're like, man, I just feel like I'm in an eternal winter. Mm. To then a few months later, having them message you and say, spring's here.
That is cool. Spring's always coming, right?
Oh, man. When you hear a leader that describes the darkness and the coldness that they're feeling and how wounded they've been, how burned out they are, to start saying, I feel like I can exhale, I can breathe, I feel the warmth on my face again, I'm dreaming about ministry again. I figured out again who I am and how I'm wired. When you can walk with somebody and see that discovery, it's just life-changing even for me. I think every leader I've walked with and guided has changed me in amazing ways. That's and cool. And then I became an author. I even wrote my own book.
There you go.
And it's just a little book. It's not very big and it's not very fancy. And my daughter would tell you that there's a lot of incomplete thoughts, but that's me.
I'm writing like a children's pastor. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I write like a talk. And so for people that are grammar crazy, it may drive you nuts. Now, I did have editors and I did have people help me, but I wanted it to be me, and I wanted it to be a book that just walked with people. We even have sections called Pause by the Stream, where we just say, hey, sit and let this marinate and think about some questions. And it's been really cool. I never dreamed of being an author, thought I would never do it, was terrified to do it. My English teacher would have told you, don't do it. but I did it. And it's just one of those little things that it's a passion work for me now. So now I'm just on that mission to help leaders find that margin so they can stay on mission.
So where do people get that book at?
Oh, right now you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on my website, restoringleaders.org as well. There's a link right there that you can order it from.
And the title is again,
Valleys Over Mountains, A Guide Through the Hard Seasons.
Okay.
So,
you know, it's interesting. We live in Medford, Oregon, which we're surrounded by mountains. And I always tell people, everybody wants their mountaintop experiences, but once you get to the top of those mountains, nothing grows. It's rock. Right. There's no trees. You can see for a long way, but then we live in a valley, and Harry and David is here. I mean, like all of the fruit and the everything happens in the valley. the fruit yes. grows, the, you know, and it's the same in our lives. Like, we have to have the valleys. That's where yes. the fruit grows. And absolutely. So it's really an interesting perspective. So this podcast is airing a couple weeks before we're going into the brand new year. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about broken leaders, people mm-hmm. that are walking in brokenness. They yep. know it, but they haven't yep. told anybody. What yep. is your advice to them? Broken, hurting, you know, people that are just in a prison.
Yeah. Well, you have to realize that God sees you.
Yeah.
And he knows and feels that brokenness. You know, he was broken for us, right?
Yeah.
And I want people to know that there's hope.
Yes.
Like I just said, I've talked with a leader who just said, I am in the endless winter. I don't know if I can ever get out of this. I don't know if anybody else understands what I'm going through. I can't talk to my senior leaders. Yeah. I don't want them to think that I'm not strong enough or capable enough or whatever. To hear those kind of people, and I've been there, so I understand. I mean, I let myself get to a place where it was taking a physical effect on me. Mm. The emotional and the mental weight that I was carrying started to have a physical weight, and I literally started breaking out into hives.
Wow.
I mean, I literally had hives going from under my arm all the way down. I'd start wearing long sleeve tees because wow. I didn't want people to see the hives that were breaking out under me. My fingertips would swell up, my cheek. I even had my tongue swell in the middle of the night one time. Wow. And I ended up having to go get an EpiPen. And stick myself with that thing and then sleep off the adrenaline rush. My mom is a nurse and she was terrified when I told her the first time I did it. And she's like, you know, you're supposed to go to the hospital after you do that. And I'm like, I don't yeah. want anybody to know.
Wow.
I'm fine. And I used to tell people, you know, I used to carry antihistamines because I would get, you know, these little puffy moments and I would use antihistamines to knock it down. And I was a mess, Jason. I was a mess.
And was that from stress? Was that from hurt? What was that from?
That was from stress. It was from hurts. It was just from all these expectations I was carrying to be a performer, to be a top tier leader. I had all these expectations on me to build an amazing children's ministry. Mm. And I had all these people depending on me and I felt this weight and I kept trying to carry it alone. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't want my team. In fact, my team had no idea. Mm. When I finally told them about what I was going through, they were horrified.
Wow.
Because they were like, we never knew. And I said, well, I didn't want you to know. And I'm sorry. I should have, as believers, I should have been vulnerable enough to say, hey, I'm hurting and I need a break.
Yeah.
I need a help. And I had to finally just say, okay, enough's enough. And yeah. I went away on a retreat and spent some time alone with God on a mountain. yeah. And then I went into the valley.
Yeah.
And when I was hiking through the valley, that's where God really just rocked my socks and got my attention and would not let me go forward down the trail. Literally, it was almost like there was an angel with a flaming sword in front of this bridge and he would not let me cross until I did business with God and released all this junk that I was carrying.
How long had you carried it? How long was the stuff that came years. From childhood even like of just that expectation of performing and, you know, I mean like, cause I feel like a lot of leaders carry it for years and then the enemy just sticks them, like gets yep. them right where it hurts and every insecurity. And when you're a leader, it's like you're at the top of the game and, you know, I mean, it's crazy.
Well, I think, yes, I watched my dad as a leader get barbecued and shish kebabbed a few times. And I took that on and carried that weight.
Yeah.
And those wounds. And so basically the way I described my early life in ministry is I had so many wounds. I was just constantly rewrapping them and rewrapping them and rewrapping them. I never let them heal. I never addressed them. I never got the right treatment for them. I just wrapped it up and kept on going. So any church hurt I had, when I got hurt by a senior leader, blindsided, I just wrapped up the wound, left and move on to the next place. And then I would pray that nobody would see those wounds, that they'd scab up a little bit, and I'd feel like, okay, I'm beyond all that. It's all in the past, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then all of a sudden somebody would do something and rip that thing open, and I'd be bleeding out again.
Mm.
And it really did. It took time to work through the process. And what I would tell somebody, if you're feeling all this, if this is what's resonating, the one thing you got to know is there's hope, that there's healing, that there's people out there. If not me, there's other organizations out there. There's a few of them, not a lot of them, unfortunately, but there's a few of them out there that can help you walk through this. And what I finally did is I said, okay, no more walking wounded.
Yeah.
No more. I mean, God was dealing with all this at that moment on that out there in Yosemite, where he was like, no more. You don't need to carry this anymore.
Wow.
You don't need to hold on to this anymore. It's time to take those wounds and make scars.
Yeah.
And I have scars on my body from where I slipped my thumb open on a lawnmower blade, and I bled like crazy.
Yeah.
And I even saw the bone, almost passed out. My wife and the emergency room nurse died laughing because twice I almost passed out because I saw the bone, and I just don't deal with blood and bones. And
me neither. Oh man.
And I'm glad God didn't give me x-ray vision. I don't want to see bone.
Yeah.
I had to get that treated right. I had to go through some pain, and I had to get stitches, and I had to have medicine on it and all this kind of stuff. And through time and through the process and doing the right things, it healed and it became a scar.
Right.
But that scar has never reopened. Mm. I've hit it a few times and it reminds me, oh yeah, there's a part of that where there's not as much meat there, and it hurts sometimes.
It's a nerve.
But I've never bled out. Wow. I've never reopened that. And what I want to encourage people to do is there is hope and healing for those wounds that you don't think will ever heal.
Yeah.
You can go beyond. And here's why I think it's so important. I hadn't been dealing with some of the stuff in the past. And then I had a volunteer look me square in the eye and say, are you going to keep penalizing us for what the other church did to you?
Oh, wow. Wow. Oof. That's a wake up call.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was bleeding out on them and they were tired of getting that. It was too messy for them. And I was a mess. And they were basically saying, Tom, get real and deal with this. And so I did. I mean, I started getting very serious, and God got very serious with me. And from that day, man, I tell you, I've sensed this freedom. It doesn't mean I don't have bad days. I do. I have valley days. I have valley seasons.
Yeah.
But I know when I walk through them, that the God of the mountain is down here in the valley with me, guiding me through it. And he's shown me that path and that healing. And so, man, I just hope that somebody would hear this and go, all you got to do, I mean, to me, all you got to do is you got to take 5 seconds of insane courage and reach out to somebody,
yes.
You know, message me, message you, message another children's pastor that you trust, and just let it go. Exhale
and
release it.
Do it now before it's too late. Before you have to.
You break out into hives and you have to carry an EpiPen.
Yeah.
That was stupid, man. I mean, it's just plain stupidity on my part.
Right.
The sick lies the enemy told me to keep me in that fear.
There you go.
I had such a fear of man. Yeah. I was so afraid of what other people would think of, what my fellow children's pastors would think of if they knew what was really going on inside Tom Bump.
Yep.
And I don't want to live like that.
You're absolutely right. And out of God's grace, he brings us to these moments where he says, I love you enough to not let you continue hurting. And, you know, I want to tell you the truth about the lies that you've been believing.
Yep.
Because leaders, we can believe lies. The enemy loves to get us believing lies about ourselves, about our ministry. And it's interesting because I think it also changes our filter. So we could be walking with a lead pastor who loves us and cares for us, but because our filter is hurt and brokenness, we take everything he says and it turns into a wound. And what we got to do is get that filter changed, right? I mean, like,
oh man,
like, Lord, change the filter.
Yes. Oh, that's so good, Jason. Because all of a sudden, when our pastor does something, our senior leader does something, all of a sudden they become the enemy. They become the competition. They become, and again, there's where that fear of man is bigger than the fear of God.
Yeah.
And we just are like, oh, I've got to do this, you know, and he's against me. No, he really wants. I mean, I find that even a pastor that I felt like was toxic, there were times where I knew he wanted better things too.
Right.
But I didn't want to see that because I just felt like he was toxic.
Yeah.
And you know, a when good maybe mentor of mine,
us, we're the ones that have the toxic mindset.
Well, yeah, our filter's messed up.
It is.
And I had a good, great mentor tell me that, you know, you always can find a nugget of truth in even the hard stuff.
Exactly.
And I just needed to change that filter in front of my face, and in my heart.
Yeah.
To see that, you know, there's some truth here and I can find some good things. And yes, if sometimes the toxicity was so bad at this one point where yes, it was the smartest thing I could do for myself, for my family, for the ministry, for me to get out of there. And I did. Yeah. I would never advise somebody to stay and be abused and and misused. No way, no how. There's enough churches out there looking for children's ministry leaders right now.
You are not going to have a problem finding a job if you're a children's pastor.
Yes. You know? And I don't think God is asking us to do that.
Right. I've seen a lot of children's pastors, though. They jump. Whenever it gets tough, they jump to the next position.
And rather than pushing through.
Yeah, you'll be running your whole life. I mean, like, and because ministry is not easy. And when you step into ministry, it becomes almost like a magnifying glass on your weaknesses and the things that you, the enemy just goes like, man, this is the magnifying glass. So what would you say? What's the first step? Like if somebody's going like, okay, like this is me, I'm broken, I'm hurting, I'm exhausted. And listen, one thing I would say too, is we have to take our Sabbaths, leaders. We've got to get rest.
Preach.
Right? Because if you don't rest, and I'm talking to myself too, I'm a type A, driven, you know, I feel guilty when I rest. I mean, whatever. But the Lord's really been speaking to me like, you've got to take time to rest and rest my presence. Because if we don't rest, we're running exhausted and we make bad decisions. And like you said, we share our volunteers. We make our volunteers pay. Our leaders that are around us pay the price. But so maybe Sabbath is the first step. I don't know. What do you say?
Yeah. Like, well, I think you have to be totally honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be honest and stop lying to yourself that you're alone.
Yes.
That nobody cares, that you care more than everybody else.
Right.
And ultimately it comes down to a pride issue, at least for me. Maybe I'm the only one, but I don't think so.
No, I think we all struggle with that.
Yeah, that if we're honest, one of the root causes of getting to a place of burnout or living in hurt is we want it to marinate. And we feel like it, you know, it's something for us to almost like a badge of honor. Because you know, we go to the ministry conferences and we compare who's more tired, who's more overwhelmed, who's more disrespected. And we gotta stop talking like that when we go to conferences.
Right.
It's bad enough.
If you talk like that, that is a great illustration that you're walking broken.
Yes, absolutely. There's a wound there that needs to become a scar. And so I think getting honest, spending some time exhaling, spending some time reflecting on where you are and why you're there.
Yeah.
I think you've got to take those first initial steps and a Sabbath where you can have solitude and silence. I'm a talker. I think people have figured that out already in the podcast. I have the gift of gab. It's in the Greek. Under the spiritual gifts, it's an asterisk in the Greek.
I like to talk too. I get it.
Lots of spiko, I think, is the Greek word.
Yeah.
That's terrible. But I have a hard time shutting up. And one of the practices, this is such a spiritual title that God gave me for this day that I teach people that I walk with on a restoring leader's journey is, as I say, you need to schedule a shut up and listen day.
Yes.
Because most of us in ministry are talkers. Even if you're an introvert, you're still talking a lot.
Yep.
And you need to just shut up. Sorry. We yell at kids for saying those words, but I'm just telling you, this is what the Spirit told me to say. Because this is what God told me to do.
Yes.
Shut up and listen.
Yep.
So I literally come down into my basement office. I'll put on some instrumental music sometimes. Sometimes I don't put anything on. And I just simply say, okay, Dad, I'm here.
So good.
I'm just going to shut up and I want you to speak.
So good. Yeah.
And I just, this,
oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's right. Well, that's what I do. I just sit here, and there are some days, man, I'll fall asleep.
You probably
but
need
I'm not
it.
Gonna, I'm not going to talk at God. I'm not going to sit there and try to read something and make something jump out in scripture, you know, and over spiritualize it. I just want to hear from God. And so I do keep a journal open. I do have the scriptures open. Yeah. Some days I sit and I do read scripture. Sometimes I journal. But those shut up and listen times have been so revealing to me. Honestly, that's where God really clarified the whole restoring leaders idea, was on a shut up and listen day. And so I think it's one of those things that we need to practice is solitude and silence.
Yep. Well, if you're talking, you can't listen.
Yes.
That's the issue. We're either talking or we're listening. And how many of us are always thinking about what the next thing we're going to say? You know, I mean, me too. I'm there as a leader. We're used to it. We're used to solving issues. Yeah. We're, you know, whatever. And these are things you can't solve. Only God can help. You know, I mean, when we're talking, and to me, there's too many people walking around hating ministry, not enjoying what they're doing, broken, wounded. Those shut up and listen days are the days when God gets to pour back into you.
Oh,
and,
man.
You know, if you're not being poured back into, your cup is probably empty. And
I was gonna say, then,
one thing the Lord showed me about a cup too is He can pour all He wants into of His love and hope and grace, but if that cup is broken, what's going to happen to it?
Yeah.
And so He wants to heal broken cups and then fill you with hope. And you know, I think that there's a whole brand new world out there for some leaders that you have only dreamed of, and your brokenness is standing in the way of where God wants to take you. And in 2023, my prayer for leaders, Kidman Tribe, Kidman Collective, is that you find healing and wholeness so that you can be the kind of leader God has called you to be, and you can take your kids where they need to go, and leaders. Man,
that is so good. I just got a message last night from a young man that I've been coaching, and he'd been hurt by a church. Yep. He left the church. Was feeling very wounded. We've been walking on a journey together. And yesterday he messaged me and said, "Hey, I want you to pray." He said, "I've asked to go back to the church and meet with the pastor and some of the board, whoever's willing, because I need to ask for their forgiveness."
Yeah.
And he wrote a letter and he said, would you read this and make any suggestions and stuff? And what I was so impressed with is here's this young man who finally the Spirit through it. And he told me it was because I sat down and did a shut up and listen day that I finally realized that a big part of the problem wasn't my pastor. It was me and my pride and my arrogance and thinking that I knew better than he did.
Yeah.
And he wrote this letter just expressing how remorseful he was and how he got in his own way. And he knows that it affected the ministry and his reputation, and he just wanted to say, "Please forgive me."
Wow.
And then he said, "Now, yes, I was hurt by how things happened and how we exited, but I want you to know I forgive you, and I'm going to choose not to be offended anymore."
Mm.
And when I read that letter, I was in tears, just feeling the emotion of it for him and realizing how far he came, because he was. And when I first mentioned this idea of caring too much and being walking wounded, he kept saying, "No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine."
That's the key word when you know they're not. I'm fine.
Oh,
I'm,
yeah. I'm fine. Well, that Matthew West song, right? I'm fine. Right. I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken.
Exactly. And people that try to convince you they're fine are always the ones you know are broken.
Oh, yeah. Because I kept saying, "I'm fine." Everybody thought I was fine.
Right.
But he later on, after I sent him some feedback on the letter, which I wasn't going to suggest really any changes because I knew that God was leading him to write it the way it was. So I wasn't going to get in the way.
Yeah.
But I just said, "So how does this make you feel?" And he just texted me back one word, "Free."
Mm.
And I'm like, that's sweet, isn't it? And he's like, "Now I understand what you were talking about." Yeah, man. I mean, I think for leaders that are going in and you're feeling totally run down by the post-COVID world and all this new now, because there's nothing normal. I don't say new normal anymore. Right. I just say new now because everything keeps changing. You know, you don't have to go into the next year the same way.
Exactly.
You don't have to keep dragging the wounds. You don't have to keep dragging the past hurts and the memories and the failures and all of those things. You don't have to take them with you at any point, whether it's going into a new year or just a new day. You exactly. don't have to carry them.
So if we
believe that God's mercies are new every morning, then why carry it around? Why not release it and let it go and get that freedom?
Exactly. Don't carry it as a badge of honor. There's some leaders that do. They carry it as a, and it's so prickly and just so, no, like
it is.
What you just said, let it go. It's a new day. Yes. Don't want to walk in. And I want to tell you, some church hurt is self-inflicted. And I'm not saying that's always the case. You know, there is some really true like church hurt that happens, but church hurt goes both ways. If you are causing hurt to others and then you claim church hurt, I think we got to be careful with those words because like we can inflict church hurt and blame it on somebody else. And it's easy to blame everybody else, but it's not until you, like you said, you take responsibility, you go like, hey, this is my problem. I'm going to get, and my dad always said this, he goes, man, if you'll just let God take care of you, he'll do it. But if you get in the way and you try to take care of somebody else and make them pay, now God says, oh man, now I have to do two of them instead of one. So, you know, let God deal with
that's
you.
That's wisdom.
Right? Yeah, right? I mean, let God deal with you and don't get offended, because we choose whether we're going to be offended or not. That's the other thing. Yeah. How many times do we put a fence on our backpack and it just gets heavier and heavier?
Yes.
You know, we're walking around offended and we tell people all the time, don't, but we're holding it on, you know? I mean, there's just such truth and just, you know, you can tell like these are the areas sometimes we need healing in.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? And hey, listen, if you want to be offended, you're always going to be able to find a reason. You know,
and do you really want to carry it? Do you really want to walk around? I mean, and then you wonder why God isn't blessing your ministry.
Yeah.
I've had to look people square in the eye and say, I know why you're not seeing the growth. I know why you don't have volunteers.
Yes, exactly.
Because who wants to walk around and follow a person that's carrying open wounds and cynicism and, you know, just being, you know, anger is going to come out of that. You're going to, there's going to be so many negative things that are going to ooze out of you that you don't even sometimes see it.
Yeah.
That's in your blind spot because you're choosing to walk around offended all the time.
Yes.
And again, the enemy wants to do that because that limits your capability. It limits God's provision.
Yeah.
You miss out on all the stuff that God wants to supply and do because, you know, I mean, it's just like I said, when that volunteer came to me and said, how long are you going to punish us? I realized that was a big part.
Right.
Of why I was having a lack of volunteers.
Yes.
Because who wanted to come work with me?
Yeah.
Because I was always walking around a little triggered.
Yeah.
And really easy to offend. And always defensive. If somebody critiques something in the ministry, well, can you do it better? You know, and well, yeah,
the answer might be yes.
I'd let them.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That might be a good thing, right?
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day,
I would not let them. I was like, nobody wants to help me at Children's. I'm the only one.
Right.
No, I had lots of people that wanted to serve. They just didn't want to serve around me.
Yeah.
And that hurts. That hurts, but it's true.
It does.
It's easier to though. I mean, I could point to an example of some volunteers I had that were in leadership that were really toxic. And I came into a church and one of the first things I was told was, you need to get rid of these two people that are overseeing the preschool.
Hmm.
And I'm like, what? And they're like, oh, they're just so burned out. They're so toxic. They won't go to church. You know, they won't go to the services. They stay in the kids area. They make up, you know, they're just blah, blah, blah. And ultimately, yes, it came down to, it was truthful that they were burned out. Nobody had loved and cared on them for years. They just left them alone. I mean, I literally almost started to leave them alone. I didn't want to walk down the hallway because I felt like I was infringing on their ground.
Wow.
But we finally, God kind of opened a door and we were able to try to get them aside. It was not a nice thing. They took it very ugly and they got very angry at me, angry at my pastor. We tried to offer them care and support and encouragement. We even said, look, this is a temporary step back. We want you just to step back and breathe for a little bit. Go into worship and you don't have to worry about any response. And they just went off and they quit and they got mad. And sometimes that happens.
It does.
But you know what happened? All of a sudden, I got a flood of volunteers.
Ah, yeah.
And so I saw it happen to them. I saw it happen to me that when I finally got honest and dealt with some of my junk, and I let go of some of that, I got a wave of God's abundance.
Yeah.
And so I can look and point at other, you know, that it was them, but I can look and go, I can tell you personally, I was in the way. And when I stepped out of it, God started providing people and bringing people forward that loved to serve in certain areas. And when I finally started releasing stuff, oh my word, I did have more volunteers. And it was fabulous. I even got a small waiting list for a short time.
Well, it's a brief time,
but I got one.
That's the thing. I mean, the more you release, that's what scripture means when it says his burden is light and his yoke is easy. Because if we're allowing him to carry the yoke, then even in ministry, like I want every leader to hear me. It's not your job to supply for the ministry. It's God's. It's God's job. Even in how you recruit, you can be the most creative recruiter. And I say, yes, go for that. But at the end of the day, what does God's word say about recruiting?
Yes.
Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers. Right. So is it that God's saying, go and have some shut up and alone time so you can pray and ask me to supply? Because I guarantee you, I got to the point where I said, God, I'm just the manager. You're the owner of this mess. So you got to make it work. And it's off of my shoulders.
Yes.
Yes. And when that load, I think there's some young leaders that are listening today that I want to encourage you, don't pick up that load. The pressure is great. And if you'll just pass that off to God, you'll cast it off. In fact, casting your cares literally means to throw those cares off, right? And say, God, listen, this is your ministry. I'm just here to work alongside of you. You provide, you empower, and I want to get healed, and you're going to be a great leader.
Yeah. Come into ministry with an open hand.
Yep.
Because if you start gripping, you know, just try the experiment where you grip and grip and grip and grip and grip, grip something. And then, you know, after 5 or 10 minutes of doing that, then you have to try to open your hand and you can't.
Yep.
And then you have to start prying. And if you've ever done this before and you have to pry your fingers open because you've been gripping, you don't really want God to grip to do that, do you?
No way.
Because sometimes he will, because he disciplines those he loves.
Yeah.
And it is his ministry, not mine.
Yep. Ultimately, that is his.
Yes. Own your junk, don't own your ministry.
There you go. Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And I know we keep telling people, you got to own your ministry. You got to. No. It's God's. We're stewards. We're under shepherds.
Yeah.
We're to lead the sheep. We're to feed them. We're to care for them. We're to guide them. But it's not, we don't own them. They're not mine. That's why some people stay too long, because they think, oh, nobody's going to care for the kids but me. No. God loves them more than you do.
Exactly. And listen,
them.
There's not one person in ministry that's not replaceable.
Oh, right.
There's not. I mean, and God cares more about who you are than what you do. And there are times that he'll sideline people because he cares more about the person than he does what they do. And so, you know, I mean,
he wants them to come and rest.
Exactly.
You know, I used to have a post-it note on my, stuck behind my computer in this little corner of my desk that says, I'm expendable.
Yep. And we really need to build our ministry that way.
Yes.
We need to build it that way. You know, I mean,
yes.
And here's what I want to challenge. I really feel like leaders, reach out to somebody before you crash and burn.
Yes.
Because in the last year, we've seen a lot of leaders crash and burn in the church.
Oh, man.
And it's because they have not reached out before they crashed and burned. And there is help. There is help to reach out. All you have to get a hold of Tom, get a hold of me. Yep. I mean, like, get a hold of the people that you can trust. And we are here to walk you through. Do not crash and burn. You don't have to. And, you know, if you have hidden sin, if you've got things that you're holding on to that you think nobody's going to find out, trust me. Trust me when I say it. What's done in darkness will always come to the light. And so find somebody you can reach out to, you know. What a great – do you have anything you want to leave our leaders today on the tribe? This is deep. It's so good.
I hope they've been – I mean, I know we've talked about some pretty heavy stuff, but I want people to know – you know, there is such joy in ministry, and there, exactly. You know, let's just get back to the basics. Let's get back to teaching kids how to read God's word for application. Let's teach them how to pray so they know they don't have to be intimidated. They can just talk to God, help them to share their faith. You know, let's make these elements part of what we do, because yeah. As we steward God's ministry, we get to watch discipleship take place, which is what we're supposed to be doing anyway.
Exactly.
It's not about building our kingdoms. It's about making disciples and then making sure that as we do that, we become less focused on all the other stuff. And then we know the value of taking care of ourselves. Exactly. We know the value of letting God give us our value, that it's, you know, I guess this would be my last words, is to realize that the enemy wants to make you feel less.
Yes.
He wants you to think you have less. He wants to keep you feeling worthless. But God says, I've made you. I've named you. I've called you. I've equipped you. I'll be with you. I'll provide for you. You are mine.
So good.
And it doesn't matter the size of the ministry.
No.
You can work in a small little church in Podunkville, Ohio for 50 years. And great is your reward in heaven as somebody that's in a mega church in downtown Dallas.
Exactly. Exactly. And you're going to see the fruit of that. You're going to see.
You are going to see it.
Come. You know, I mean, you will see, and that's the challenge with children's ministry, is sometimes right. we plant the seed and we don't always get to see
yep.
what that grows into. Those things that you were talking about, the things we need to be teaching our kids, we've got to be modeling them in our lives too.
Yes.
Because kids yes. learn by modeling. And so,
yes.
you know, it's not do as I say, it's do as I do.
Yeah.
So, you know, being connected on that level of
yeah.
the shut up and listen day, the letting God yeah. getting some rest, like those are what we have to model. And yep. you know, us learning the Bible and digging deep. And man, it's yes. been so great to talk to you today, Tom.
It's will you pray for our leaders? You,
yeah, it's
yes,
been so good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Father God, I thank you that we can call you Father. And I pray that every person listening to this hears that their Father loves them and sees them and yes, knows Lord. Them. And values them not for what they do, but for who they are. God, I pray that as leaders, we would never entangle so deeply and so tightly our yes. vocation and our identity of who we are in Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
God, I pray for those leaders that are out there that feel alone and isolated, because the enemy wants to isolate. He wants to roar and growl and snarl and make them feel that they are alone and that they are on the verge of death and darkness and an eternal winter. And God, I just pray that they would feel your breath blowing in their face, and that they would realize that you are with them and that you're going to bring spring. That as they release the hurts of the past, that they don't have to carry them anymore. They can leave them. God, as the song says, you turn graves into gardens.
Yes.
God, may the children's ministry community, family ministry community, see the gardens blossoming again. A lot of us are mourning the loss of volunteers and families. And God, instead of the mourning, let's have joy. Give us creativity. Give us wisdom to change things, to try new things, to move forward and to push through. Because God, we know that as much as you are the God of the mountains, you are the God of the valleys too.
Yes, Lord.
And in the valley is where we find the beauty. In the valley is where the refreshing water flows. In the valley is the fragrance of the trees and the flowers. God, you walked in gardens.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm so thankful that you did that. I pray that if there's a leader out there that needs someone to talk to, that they would just take 5 seconds of insane courage and reach out.
Yes.
Go to the website for Restoring Leaders, or reach out to Jason, or reach out to a local person, a counselor, and just say, hey, I just need someone to talk to. I need someone to walk with. Father, thank you, because you are with them too, even though they may not sense it. God, thank you for this podcast, and thank you for the ministry of the Kidman Tribe, and thank you that we have a community that reminds us consistently we're not alone. So God, bless this ministry. Bless Jason and his ministry, and just with the abundance that you have. God, I thank you that whatever we ask or think, you're going to do even greater. So Father, thank you for that. And I pray blessings on all that listen. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Tom, thank you so much. Where can people find you?
Hey, well, best place, I mean, you can go to tombump.com. You can do restoringleaders.org. You can do kmccoach.net. Okay. So any of those kind of places, we have a Facebook group for Restoring Leaders. There's the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group. So lots of ways.
That podcast too, friends. So when does your podcast come out? The Kid
Every Monday. It's out on all the iTunes and Google Play, all the places you can find it. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it should be there. Awesome. So yeah, every Monday we try to come up with a new episode, and we even did one on listening the other day too, long ago. So,
thank you so much.
Thanks God for having me, man.
Yes. And we'll have you on again. And I just appreciate all of your wisdom and what God has called you to. Kid Ministry Leaders and the Kidman Tribe. We'll see you next time. Make sure you reach out to somebody. We're here. We love you. We're cheering you on, and we're rocking right beside you if you'll let us. All right. We'll catch you next time on the Kidman Tribe podcast.
We would love to hear from you. What are some of the thoughts, questions, ideas you would like to hear more about? You can submit your thoughts and questions to thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. And be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know.
Hey, everybody, that was incredible. Thank you, Tom, for all the insight. Man, I just want to see leaders continue to thrive, leaders who aren't burned out, leaders who are encouraged, leaders who allow Jesus in to heal their heart. And I believe what we talked about can really help you with that today. And so, man, we're so thankful you're a part of the Kidman Tribe podcast. I hope it's been an incredible blessing to you, especially today if you're facing those difficult times in ministry. Hey, do me a favor, wherever you watch this podcast, go and subscribe to our channel. If you're on YouTube, if you're on Apple, if you're on Google, wherever you listen or watch, go and like that on our channel. We would so appreciate it. Give us a good rating up there, and then share some comments about what you love. You can also share on social media. Please give this out to all the leaders, Kidsmen leaders in your life who need to be encouraged. Also, today you can go to our website, thekidmantribe.com. That's kidmantribe.com. We have a mailbag. Love to hear from you. Shoot me an email. Let me know what's going on in your life. We're getting ready to create our 2023 content, and love to hear what topics you'd love for us to be talking about and the guests that we would have. If you have a guest recommendation, I'd even love to hear that. We want to be a blessing and help you as a leader. It's so important. You can also find all of the old editions of the Kidman Tribe podcast. We have a blog that we write every other week. So the weeks that we don't have the podcast, we have a blog. And then there's a lot of great swag. Christmas is coming. Man, get your kids ministry leaders a new water bottle, a shirt, or whatever. Let them know that you're thankful for them and thankful they're part of the tribe. Hey, in 2 weeks, I have an incredible guest, Jeff McCullough from Jumpstart 3. Jeff has been through an incredible journey over the last couple of years where God has done miraculous things, and I can't wait for you to hear from Jeff. He is going to increase your faith. Jeff McCullough started Jump 3, which you can find anywhere online. He's a global musicianary for Jump 3. He created Jump 3 as a way to help his own family learn God's word using music, motions, and family devotions. He combines his passion to share the gospel with his ear for modern music to create resources that are being used in countless churches and homes in 180 countries. Jumpstart 3 just released its 100th word-for-word scripture song. Jeff spent the last 34 years creating over 600 CDs for clients as diverse as Sony, Disney, Zumba, Phil Wickham, and Maranatha Music. His educational songs are used by Disney to teach English to over 500,000 Chinese kids every year. His music has also been part of the curriculum for J-12, for Discipler, KMC curriculum, Mega Sports Camp, VBS, and Answers in Genesis, and much more. Jeff has an incredible testimony of how God has been working in his life and doing incredible miracles. Don't miss this edition of the Kidman Tribe to hear all that God's been doing. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. I am praying for you as you're getting ready to move into your holiday season. I pray it's the best season yet. I pray you see God do incredible things, that you're able to get rest, and that you are encouraged. Hey, you are loved, you're appreciated, and what you do changes lives for eternity. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. The seeds that you're planting today are going to put forth great fruit in the future. I'm your biggest fan. I'm cheering you on. You're my heroes. Go get them, tribe. We'll see you next time.
The Kidman Tribe Podcast is a production of 1230 Kids. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your kids' ministry, visit kidmantribe.com.